Welcome to my daily teaching video. Today I'm going to do the last part of my teaching from this book, The Promise. And today we're going to talk about the power of your words and how to harness your words to bring the promises of God into reality in your life. Good. Hey, I'm going to do that in a moment, but it's interesting. I lived 20 years of my life in the nation of France. I'll be over in France in a couple of days' time. And I had to learn as an adult to speak a foreign language. And I'm sure some of you have done that. Many of you, perhaps English is a foreign language to you. And it is a journey, a process we go through. It's not always easy to do, to learn to speak a brand new language. And it occurred to me one day, I was sort of thinking, Lord, what language do you speak in heaven? I hope it's English. Could be French. It's probably Hebrew, if anything. But, you know, is it tongues? I think I know the language of heaven. I think the language of heaven is the language of promise. I think heaven speaks the language of promise. And I believe God wants his children to speak that same language of promise. So we'll jump into that in just a moment. As usual, a couple of housekeeping things. If you are new to my ministry, it's great to have you here. If you're on my YouTube channel, we have over 1 million subscribers now. I'd encourage you to join that group there. Check out the links below, my website. Too many things going on to mention, but a great way of keeping in touch with me is signing up for our email newsletter. And we will give you a free copy of this book, The Promise, when you do that. So link below if you're interested in signing up for that. And secondly, I just want to say a big thanks to all of my partners. We are able to take these videos now and put them quite literally in front of millions of people every year who wouldn't otherwise hear the gospel, who wouldn't otherwise hear the message of faith. At the moment, we have a push. We're really trying to reach the Middle Eastern nations and young people in those nations like Egypt, Iran, Saudi Arabia. So thank you for all of the partners who, you know, for every $10 that are given, we are able to take this message and put it in front of thousands of people. So encourage you to do that. Why not give up one cup of Starbucks a month that the gospel would go forth? Pray about it. Link below if you're interested. Good. Let's grab our Bibles. And I want to begin by reading a couple of passages here. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it, who love the tongue, will eat its fruit." And really, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So often we'll say, well, it's God who controls everything. And in a sense, that's true. God is sovereign. He's over everything. He's in charge of everything. The day is coming when he will come back and bring order to the entire universe. And the old will pass away, the new will come. C.S. Lewis used to say, when the author steps on the stage, the play is over. And the day is coming when the author will step on the stage and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, Selah. And yet, we are living in a sort of an interesting time right now. It's like we're living in the time between D-Day and VE Day, if you know your history. We're living in a time where the kingdom of God is here, and yet the kingdom of God is not fully manifest. There are those who embrace the kingdom. The kingdom is moving forward violently, and the violent take it by force, Matthew 11, verse 12. So we're living in a time where, is God's kingdom fully manifest on this earth? You know, people come out with these unbiblical cliches at times that sound cute in some churches, not this one, and they're not biblical. You'll hear people say, well, God controls everything. Let me just pause. Does God control everything? I mean, right now, probably, you know, somewhere within a few miles of me today, some guy will punch his wife. I hope not, but it's probably like that. Probably some child will be abused. Statistically speaking, anyway, within this area. What if somebody were to hit somebody today and knock somebody over and kill them? And you're going to say, oh, God had a plan. God was in charge. God wanted that to happen. No, he didn't. That's not... Jesus never taught people to pray, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. Remember the song, "The future's not ours to see, que sera, sera." Jesus taught people to pray, "Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And before we say something, we can't tell what God's will is by simply looking at what happens. We tell what God's will is by reading God's word. And I just want to go with you guys briefly today. Probably more than anything else I know, more than any key, taking God's word and putting it in your mouth is the way that will bring it from heaven to earth. There is an amazing connection between the mouth and the heart. Romans 10, verse 8 says, what does it say? What does scripture say? The word is near you or nigh to you in your mouth, mouth first, and then in your heart, which is the word of faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made towards salvation. Notice, if you will, he starts off by saying with the mouth, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. And then he says, with the heart we believe and with the mouth we confess. And there's a sort of interchangeable law and principle that happens there. And it's really this: whatever you put in your mouth will end up in your heart. I can't choose as an act of my will to believe something. What I can choose as an act of my will is to put God's word in my mouth concerning something. And honestly, the words you put within your mouth will end up sinking down within your heart. You will end up believing the things you say. And then the reverse is true. Matthew 12 verse 34, out of the overflow of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever you put in your mouth will end up sinking down into your heart. And whatever you put in your heart will end up coming out of your mouth. There was a time earlier in my ministry. Let me give you these three keys. Key number one, words shape and define your internal reality. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good testimony. And then around about verse 2 or 3 of that chapter says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which are visible, by other things which are seen. The whole world was framed by the word of God. And the reality of your heart is framed by the very words that you speak. It's absolutely true. Now, sure, there's a time in my life where God had called me to live my faith financially. And it was wonderful. I only had two problems. I had no money and I had no faith. It's really tough. And I was literally terrified. I wasn't greedy. People think like, oh, preachers and money. And no, I was just terrified of going bankrupt. I was terrified of running out of gas, which I'd done a bunch of times in ministry. I was terrified of not having enough money to make it, to preach somewhere. And I went to the Lord just with this heart of fear, this heart of unbelief. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Graham, start taking my words. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And he literally said, walk the carpet. What he was saying is just walk up and down. And I would spend hours quoting God's word about my finances or my lack thereof. Quoting God's word about his supply. The Bible says this, the Bible says this. And my heart would scream, yeah, but my bank account says this. And I would just keep saying the word. And I can't even quite tell you when it happened. Because the Bible says faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes when you hear the word of God. I can't make faith come. I can just make my ears and my mouth hear the word of God. And I suddenly remember a season in my life where, you know, I was once walking around, maybe driving, whatever, saying, my God supplies all my needs. And suddenly I realized, I actually believe this. My God does supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I actually believe this. And I really do believe this. And it really is true. Boom. And it's a really great place to be when you actually begin to really believe that, but at times you've got to engage your heart with the Word of God. So key number one, words shape your internal reality. Key number two, words are like seeds which produce a harvest. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, the seed is the Word of God. And so often we're trying to reap a harvest we haven't sown, or we've been sowing seeds. There was a lady in my church in France years ago who used to gather with a group of ladies to pray in a town called Rouen. And she said there was this other lady, and every week this lady would pray. And she was talking about, this lady was praying about unity in the church, but she keeps saying, oh, que les murs tombent, the walls would fall down. She was talking about the walls of division, but she'd spend like an hour, let the walls fall, let the walls fall. And one day, as she was saying this, the walls of the building they were in just collapsed around them. Now, it's a little dramatic maybe, but guys, I've drank the Kool-Aid, I really believe this. And I meet people all the time who go around saying, oh, this will never work for me, that will never work, my kids won't walk with God, you know, people don't want to hear about Jesus, I'm no good at this. And that ends up being the lived reality. Why? God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Come on, key number three, we'll finish with this, is we need to be consistent in speaking the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. James talks about a man who looks in a mirror, goes away, and forgets what he looks like. And then James speaks about another man who looks into the mirror of the Word of God. James calls it the perfect law of liberty. And James says he continues therein. And there's something about continuing therein. I have met many people who say, yeah, I tried that thing about speaking God's word, and it doesn't work. And I always lovingly try to help them unpack what I just heard when they say that. When somebody says that to me, what I will do is say, here's what I heard you say. I heard you say you tried speaking the Word of God, and at some stage you stopped speaking the Word of God. You decided it didn't work, and you've now landed in that place where you decided it didn't work. At some stage you stopped. At some stage you threw in the towel. At some stage, you simply gave up. And I tell you guys, don't give up. Be that person. Let God's word be continually in your heart, continually in your mouth. Get up every day and declare certain things over your life. Most of us want miracles. We'd like to pray once. We'd like to speak God's word once, and bang, something amazing happens. We want instant. And what we've got to do is continue therein. We speak about God's timing, but most of the time God is waiting for us to work His Word, to act upon His Word. And as I said yesterday, when you act upon the Word of God, you will activate the Word of God. Selah. Guys, I've got to run, but we'll be back tomorrow with another. We're going to session. We're going to do a Q&A session tomorrow. And I do a weekly Q&A now, so if you have any questions on this or other topics about the Christian life, send those to me, and I will jump into those. God bless you.